When I was in the third grade, I remember this very clearly because it kind of defined me. There was a good-looking kid in my class by the name of Doug Hunt. And he created, at whatever you are in third grade, 9 years old, a love list. And every girl in class was on this list, except for one. And this list was going around, and I questioned him about it, thinking, you know, it was some sort of a joke or he made a mistake, and he laughed and he said, "Are you kidding?" I felt really bad. That was a defining moment in my life, to realize that I was not chosen. It was about that time as well that I was so eager to help my dad in his garden. He's got a garden about half the size of this sanctuary. He grows everything, and he grows it beautifully. I think he will someday be God's gardener. But one day I wanted so badly to help him, and he said, "Fine, okay, okay." And he's a perfectionist. And he told me where to plant the seeds after he put the hole in the ground. And I would put the seed in there, and we were going along, and all of a sudden he let out a yell. As I was walking along putting the seeds in, I was stepping on top of the beans. He was very angry. And I think the words that came out, although he regretted them later, were, "Can't you do anything right?" That also was defining and made me realize I probably can't. Later in junior high, I didn't make the choir. I was told I shouldn't try out for choir because I don't have a good voice. Chris knows very well, as does Bill, that still burns in my mind. I'm nervous to sing, unless, of course, I'm standing way far away from everybody. In my 11-year marriage, when my ex-husband had affairs, I thought, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe it's me. I don't tell you these things to make you feel sorry for me, because we all have our own stories. We all have disappointments and wounds in our lives that define us, although they shouldn't. But I tell you these things so that you can see from your perspective that it really wasn't necessarily me. There's nothing wrong with me. And it took me a long time to realize that. And there's nothing wrong with you either. These life experiences and perspectives from other people don't make it true. We look at David. Now there's a life experience. Samuel the prophet comes to the house of Jesse, and he's there to anoint a king. So Jesse brings all of his sons before Samuel, and Samuel comes before each of the sons. And he's pretty sure he knows which one it is, because Eliab is the biggest and the strongest. He is obviously a warrior and a strong man and going to be God's next king of Israel. But the Lord does not choose Eliab. So there's another one. There's Abinadab. And Samuel believes, well, if it's not Eliab, it's got to be Abinadab. But God just doesn't choose him either. And he goes through all of Jesse's sons, and the Lord doesn't choose any of them. But the Lord chose, told him to go to the house of Jesse, and there would be the next king. So now he's really confused, and he says to Jesse, "Are these all of your sons?" And Jesse says, "Yes. Well, except for David. But, you know, it's David." David's out, you know, little David, he's, you know, of no consequence, and he's out taking care of the sheep. He didn't even think to bring David forward. David's father didn't even believe in him. Defining moment. But who defines who we are? Because when David came forward, the Lord chose David. And we know this story because David is one of God's saints that we remember. Immediately it says, the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day on. Why do you think that was? Because now David believed who he was. Now David actually believed that he was worthy and that he was valuable. See, God saw something in David that no one else saw, because God knew David from his innermost being. Physical appearance, status, age, all irrelevant to God. Do you hear me on this? All irrelevant to God. Accomplishments, job status, possession, education. It's not who we are. But we tend to believe that we are who the world says we are. We tend to allow the world to label us. And as we begin to believe those labels, we also find ourselves labeling and believing the labels placed on others. Brian Moon of Lakeside Presbyterian Church tells the story of a man who was walking through the forest one day, and he found a young eagle who had fallen out of his nest. He took it home and he put it in his barnyard, where it soon learned to eat and behave like the chickens. One day, a naturalist passed by the farm, and he asked why it was that the king of all birds should be confined to live in the barnyard with the chickens. And the farmer replied that since he had given it chicken feed and trained it to be a chicken, it had never learned to fly. So, since it now behaved like the chickens, it was no longer an eagle. Still, it has the heart of an eagle, replied the naturalist, and it can surely be taught to fly. He lifted the eagle toward the sky and said, "You belong to the sky, not the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle, however, confused, did not know who he was, and seeing the chickens eat chicken food, he jumped down to be with the chickens again. Oh, the naturalist took the bird to the roof, and he urged him, and he said, "You are an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." And the eagle still did not understand. So then he took the bird to a mountain and he lifted him up high and he said, "You are an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch forth your wings and fly." And the eagle looked around. He looked back toward the barnyard and he looked up toward the sky. And then the naturalist lifted him straight forth to the sun. And slowly, he began to tremble. And he stretched out his wings, and with a triumphant cry, he soared away to the heavens. For many of us, life is a lot like that story, only We never stretch out our wings and attempt to fly. We spend our lives living the life of chickens when we should be living the life of an eagle. We look up to possibilities from the ground and we think that all those beautiful dreams are for other people and not for us. We dream of life up in the clouds, soaring free and powerfully. But all too often we stay in the barnyard pecking at chicken feed. Why do we do that? Because we've been told that we are not eagles. We've been reprogrammed to believe that we are something other than who we are. You are ugly, incapable, unable to do anything right. You have an ugly voice. You are not good enough. We're reprogrammed to believe these things. And we've been kept in captivity on the ground so long that we forget that we're spiritual beings who live in this world but are not of this world. Who are you? Whose are you? You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the King of the universe. Do you know what that makes you? In our society, we place so much value on beauty and youth and athletic ability and intelligence and education and wealth and fame and social status, and we go around in circles comparing ourselves to other people. We're bombarded with mixed messages of world-measured self-worth. We're forced, sadly, to stand at the checkout lane and look at the magazine covers that tell us what we should look like, who we should be, what we should think. We actually forget who we are, and we forget who others are as well. But see, none of this stuff that we believe about ourselves, the negative stuff, is true. So, if I'm not what I do, or what I wear, or the negative things people say about me, or how much I own, or where I went to school, then who am I? Where do I fit in life? Where do I find my value? The eagle from the story was not a common chicken. But see, he didn't know this until someone came along and held up a mirror and showed him who he was. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made to fly. You are a child of the King of the universe. We are made in God's own image, and we are so beloved that our Creator relentlessly pursues us, even when we turn away. He sacrificed everything, even his human form, his human life, to bring us home to a kingdom, to remind us that we are royal priesthoods. We need to remember who we are. We need to appreciate and remember our sacred worth and the sacred worth of others. We need to see our own light so that we can see the light of others. The voice of God comes to announce our extraordinary worth. We are infinitely valuable because we were born in the mind of God. Even before we entered our mother's womb, God knew us. We were precious to God before the world began because we were already on his mind and in his imagination. The fact is that we are God's. And that's something that can never change or ever be taken away from us. That's something that another person's opinion can't change. It's something we can never lose, no matter who the world tells you you are. It doesn't change. You know, all day long, you can tell a prince or a princess that they are not royal, but it doesn't change it. They still are. Now, hearing this, I want you to believe this. I want you to believe who you are. The next thought, of course, is going to be, but what about the things that I've done or the mistakes I've made? I might have been created wonderfully, but I've screwed it all up. I've messed up God's plan for me. No, you haven't, and I will cover that next week. In the meantime, it's important to remember who you are. And I can tell you this all day long, but you know what? It's a practice is what it is. It's a practice. On the darkest days, when you feel inadequate, unloved, and unworthy, remember whose child you are and adjust your crown. Stand up tall. Remember that you are royal. You belong to a royal priesthood. You are infinitely valuable. You know how you treat your greatest possession? Treat yourself that way and others. Once the eagle took to the sky, flying was second nature. Once we spend time, more time in God's presence, reading the word, growing in our prayer life, surrounding ourselves with the encouragement of other believers, coming to church and worshiping together, serving in God's name. When we start doing these things on a regular basis, we open the channel of communication with our Creator through our prayer life and our life of gratitude and generosity. And the scales begin to fall away from our eyes. And we begin to see ourselves for who we are, a sparkling, dazzling, life-filled, extraordinary being created by God for a purpose. You are a royal priesthood. And through these next few weeks, we're going to focus on certain people in our congregation and in the world. The response video afterwards is going to speak directly to the men of our congregation. And I would invite you during this response to take a crown. The ushers will pass those around. To remind you whose you are, wear it. Put it somewhere that will remind you daily whose you are and who you are. Wear it when you need special reminders. Hold your head up high and straighten your crown.